And we're blessed here. They come out to listen to these boys play, girl, whatever's playing here this morning, they're going to listen to them, so they're going to put a lot of pressure on y'all, okay? And the kids will. So we're thankful for that. We do have some visitors here this morning. I say before, this is God's house, and if it's your first time here or 100th time here, you mind the Lord this morning, and we'll have a wonderful time here in this service. If God's in it, it's wonderful. If we try to get in the way, well, it goes downhill fast, but we need just to praise God this morning. That's what we're here for. So I think the first thing we're going to do, somebody did find a sippy cup out in the parking lot, so if somebody lost one, it's up here. So, yeah.
If I could, let me make an announcement. I know that we're going to have some people not here next Sunday night because of the music camp, but if at all possible, we're going to have a choir practice at 4:30, and the main reason why is that is because we're going to have a very special guest choir director Sunday night for Sunday night service, so I need as many people that can be here for the choir next Sunday night. And the choir's singing tonight, too, so I want you to come back tonight. But next Sunday, we're going to practice at 4:30, and Miss Alyssa Bumpus is going to be our special guest choir director before she goes to conduct the WVU band. We're going to get her ready. And so I'd like to have as many people as I can next Sunday. If you have to go to music camp, that's fine. My boys are in it, but we're going to be here. But I'd like to have as many people as I can. For the choir, for her. We're going to do 3 songs, and she's going to direct for us. So amen. I wanted to get that out of the way. And also, coming up, it's not very far away, October the 12th, the J.T. Coons Memorial Sing will be happening Saturday night. We're going to have Karen Peck in New River. And I'd like for you to spread the word, and we're going to start doing some fundraisers for that too. But keep that in mind. October the 12th. The J.T. Coons Memorial Sing will be Karen Peck and New River this year, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Thank you, Chris. All right. First thing we need to do is do our offering. We got our ushers. Right underneath them. Preacher's girl's hiding up here, Jimmy. All right, Donnie, you asked a blessing for that.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you give us. Lord, we pray and ask you, Lord, just to bless your service. Bless these young ones to come to minister to us in song this morning. Father, we just pray that you, Holy Spirit, can have right away in our service. Bless this offering, Lord. Bless those that have to give and those that have not.
Amen.
thank y'all. It's one of my favorite times of year. I love my country. I want to stand for it. There's a many people that have died so I can have the freedom. I'm 61, almost 62, and I didn't even have to register for the draft. Why? Because other men and women have served for me. And I'm going to get excited, but I'm thankful that I live in a country. At least here on the East Coast, they still praise God, and you don't see them burning the flag much, but they praise God and they stand for everything that America stood for many years. We need to get back to that. All right, we got the, if I get this right, McCoy family. Is that right there, Lord? Huh? That it? I don't want them, but there are some young ones. They're going to sing. And, well, we've heard them before here, and they are awesome. So, y'all just mind the Lord. Come on.
Everybody mic'd up over here yet. I like it. He's ready. I like it.
And it was stored, he would come, and the race that he would run would end on an old buggy cross. But when they lay him in that tomb, the barrel door went in that room. Now he reigns forevermore. Home with him to stay, where his glory forever we will share. And when that first trumpet sounds, we will all be glory bound. Up there we'll live forevermore.
Hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon a tree. By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon a tree. We are healed by his blood, we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Nurtured and raised a brother and sister.
We live in love. how unworthy I am. God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good.
Over.
pick and grin. All right, play us one.
Bless you, Jim. Amen. Oh, amen. Bless you, Jim. Amen.
I just preached by you. Are you here to hear that?
Bless you,
Lord. Amen.
That's my prayer.
Bless the Lord.
Burn on my heart. Y'all, remember the prayers. My name's got younger than here. It's hard, but he knows when. He knows the time.
That's right.
Amen, buddy.
He knows all about it.
Yeah.
He knows what you're doing today.
Sure. Right. Sure.
Amen. Bless you, Jim. Amen.
Hey, I want to stand this morning.
Bless you, Kendra.
Before God gives my testimony to somebody else, and he'll do that. I've known for the last 5 minutes that he wanted me to stand, and I just kept sitting there. But you know, we have a hope in Jesus.
Amen.
That's our biggest and greatest hope is in Jesus, and all that he'll keep us through and see us through. But I was just thinking, as all these little ones were up there this morning, that's the future of the church there.
Man, right.
And I want to thank these parents for bringing those young people up in church and showing them the way and teaching them the way. And because, you know, that verse of scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. I had that training when I was young. I was taken to Sunday school, but didn't stay in. And it wasn't until I was 32 years of age that I was truly saved,
Amen.
Baptized, and come to know who Jesus Christ is and who he really is. That's the hope that we have right there. And all those young ones that were sitting on the front rows, I was looking through the top of those little heads and thinking the same thing, and just thanking God that he continues to bring families about, like was said in our Sunday school class earlier, where here on the East Coast, we still see it clearly. You know, we're still seeing it. And I just praise God for that and hope we continue to see it. I don't ever want to see that die. I don't ever want to see that taken away from us. We need it.
Amen.
Our future generations need it. My kids are going to hopefully have grandkids one day for me. And I just hope the way I've raised my boys will be the way they will raise their children and my future generations. And I just praise his name this morning.
Amen.
Bless your heart.
Bless Mary.
Bless you, Mary.
Mary.
You are so blessed. These children, they've got the power they're using today.
Yes.
Yeah.
May God touch them and never wander away from it.
Yes.
Yes.
They need it. We need it. You truly need it.
Sure.
I love the Lord with my love.
Yes.
We raise our children in church. We're filled with Christians.
Right.
Hey, Lord. Right on. Right on, we've got some Christian college. Oh, good church.
Bless you, Mary.
Bless you, Mary.
Amen. Amen. I had the bulletin that they are called McCoy Boys and Friends. That's what they have wrote in here. So I don't want to do that. All right. All hearts and minds are clear. Come on, Rob.
I think they should be called Welcome Here Anytime.
Yeah.
That's what we should call
them.
Welcome Here Anytime. That was good stuff. All of it was amazing, but one thing that amazed me is the piano player could play while he was looking over here.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was, I mean, I know what he was looking at. I don't know why he was looking, but anyway, he could play while he looked here and while he looked there and while he looked there. And that's just crazy. That's just not fair, you singers and instrument players. Some of us can't do anything like that. Some of me. I don't know about us, but some of me. Some of me. Anybody got anything else? We are blessed in America. No matter what anybody thinks, says, or tells you, we are blessed in America. And as long as you're in America, we always will be. As long as you're here, God will bless this country, because God will bless you. God will bless his people. Will not forsake his people. So as long as you're here, as long as there's the remnant, God will bless. May not be the country we want it to be, but God will bless. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. If everybody's done, you know, Kendra said she kind of debated about for 5 minutes standing up. Last week I told you I debated with God, you know, before praying. So if you have debated, I'm going to give you one more shot while pages are turning to stand up. To say something, to sing, play something, to shout. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. Please stand if you can. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for this another day you've given us to come into your house. We thank you, Father, for the lessons we've heard so far. Lord, I thank you for the music that we've heard, this talent that you've blessed these young people with. Lord, I thank you for that. I'm glad that they're using it for you. God, I ask you to keep them in you, using it for you, Father. They'll have a great ministry as long as they do that, Lord. As we gather together, Lord, I ask you to speak through me. Lord, help me to step back, Father, that you could step forward. Help me to quiet down, Lord, that you could speak up and talk to us. Talk to each one of us right now, Lord, in our life, where we're at, what we're going through, what we're in the midst of, God, what we're about to get in the midst of, Father, for you know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds, God, but you do, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to move through the sanctuary. Continue to speak, continue to move, continue to draw, Lord. If there's someone here that needs you, if there's someone here that needs you for anything, we ask that this morning would be the morning that you call them, you draw them, and give them the boldness and the courage and the strength to step out and come to you, Lord. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about following God's plan always. Always follow God's plan. Why is that? Because God's plan always works. God's plan always works. Never does God's plan just miss it. Never does God's plan just barely make it. Never does God's plan miss the mark by a long shot. God's plan will always work as long as you and I will follow God's plan, as long as you and I will do what God says, when God says, how God says. It will always work out for you and work out for me. And that's what I want to talk to you about, following God's plan this morning for your life. Following God's commands, following God's judgment, following God step by step, following for everything that God has for you. Now, I want to take a look at verse 5 for just a minute. The Bible says, and they, being the elders of Israel, gathered themselves together, and they said unto Samuel, so they came to Samuel, verse 4 tells us, the elders came to Samuel in Ramah, and this is what they said to him, behold, they complimented him. How many of you would take this next statement as a compliment? You're old. Now, is that the way you want to talk to the judge of God that's judging you? Is that the way you want to talk to the king? Is that the way you want to talk to the one who has wisdom? You're old. Now, I take that as a compliment because there's only one way to not get old. Die young. I don't want to do that. I'm ready to go to heaven, but I ain't in a hurry to go to heaven. I enjoy it down here. So I don't want to die young. I want to get old. You know, in banking, I've heard a lot, over and over, people will tell me, you don't want to get old. And, you know, I argue with them. I don't argue with a lot of people. I'm like, yes, I do. But anyway, they say, it's not, getting old's not for the weak. Then I hope I'm tough. That's all I can say. Hope you're tough. Because they came to him and said, behold, you're old. And they said, we want a king. What happened was they've been in battle with the Philistines, and they saw the countries around them had kings. They've been in battle with the Philistines, and their king led them, and they saw these people that had kings. They had somebody standing out in front of them, somebody walking in front of them, somebody that they could physically see, and they could physically follow, and they could physically lean on and turn to, and they could physically blame when things don't go right. There's a good thing with God. If you lean on God and walk with God and let God lead you, it won't go wrong. So you can't blame, you can only give credit. Amen, Rob. That's good preaching right there. So let's look for a minute at what they did. What they did is they saw this and they looked around them. They looked around and said, I want what they want. I want what they have. I like what I have, but I don't like as much of what I have as what they have. I want what they have. What they were doing was looking at the green grass. Anybody ever looked at the green grass on the other side? What do they say about the green grass on the other side? it's always greener on the other side. But do you realize that when you're looking at that green grass over there, there's somebody looking at your green grass from over there? Green grass always looks better on the other side from the other side. So when I'm looking at somebody else, going, man, their grass is a lot greener than mine. They're going, well, Rob's grass is greener than mine. So we always want what we don't have. When we look around and look at others, when we look around and look at others, when we compare ourselves, we compare to others. We look at what other people have and what other people are doing, what other people have, and what we say, they have what I want. I'm tired of what I have. I want what they have, even though they want what I have. We can't look around at other people. We can't look around at other groups. We can't look around at other countries. We can't look around at other churches. We can't look around at other Christians and decide that we want what they have, because God's given you and God's given me just what we need for our life, what we need for His plan. Leviticus tells us that we should not covet anybody's anything. Now it says house, wives, maids, men servants, maid servants, asses, oxes. Then it goes on to say anything. So in case you have none of that stuff, but you have other stuff, okay, somebody doesn't have that, but they have something you want, and he said, just anything, let's cover it all. You and I should not want anything that anybody else has. We should want what we have, because that's what God has given us and what God knows we need for today and for tomorrow and for what we're fighting right now and what we're about to fight. God's prepared you up to this point for your plan, or for His plan for your life. You see, they had it made. They had it made. Leviticus 26:12 says this. They had everything they ever needed. They had the King of Kings, and they had the Lord of Lords, and they had the one who created it all, and they had the one who runs it all, and they had the one who called all the shots. Anything in this world goes on because He either lets it or makes it, causes it or lets it. So they had everything they needed. And here's what He said. I will walk among you. Now, He's saying this to them, but this is to God's people. How many in here are God's people? Amen. Right. So this is for you. He says, I will walk among you. Anybody felt Him walking among you this morning?
Amen.
During that singing, if you didn't feel Him walking among you, you need to be right here.
Right.
Because the Spirit moved during that. That's powerful, anointed singing. Good singing, anointed singing. The Bible says, God says, I will walk among you. That's throughout your whole life. That's everything that you do, everywhere that you go, every undertaking that you undertake, every situation you're in. God says, I will walk among you. I will be a part of your life, and I will be your God. I will be your God. Not, sometimes I'll be, maybe I'll be your God. Possibly I'll be your, if you're good enough, I'll be your God. If you're the right height, I'll be your God. Who's the right height in here? We got a couple people that knows that they're the right height. Who's the right height for God? Everybody. Who has the right name for God? Who has the right bank account for God? Say, my bank account, if God needs my bank account, He's hurting. He don't need your bank account. You need His bank account. And who says God's bank account is the right bank account, right? I want those checks, right? But He said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. He said, when I come down and I save you, when you're born again, when you're brought into the family, when the price is paid and you're mine, He said, I will be your God. You will be my people. That's exactly what they had. They had the plan that God actually said earlier, He told Samuel, He said, I want to be their king. I want to be their king. That's what He wants to be for you. He wants to be your king. He wants to be your savior. He wants to be your guide. He wants to be your judge. He wants to be your advisor. He wants to be your counselor. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your brother. He wants to be your father. He wants to be everything that you need Him to be. He wants to be everything that you want Him to be. He wants to be that. And that's what He said. He said, Samuel, I want to be their king. Now, so Samuel tells them, they say, we want a king. Samuel says, no, you don't. They said, yes, we want the king. Samuel says, no, you don't. They said, yes, we want a king. Anybody ever argue with God like I have? Like they have? Argued? I mean, really argued. How intelligent am I when I argue with God? Really? I mean, God says, come now, let us reason together. Like I have anything to bring to that table. right? I mean, I don't even deserve to bring me to the table, much less what knowledge I have. But I argue so. So they said, so Samuel gets tired and says, all right, I'm going to go to God. So he goes to God and he says, God, they said they'd argue with them, but they said they still want that king. So God says, go back and tell them again they don't. And if they say they do, tell them this. So Samuel goes back and he says, no, you don't. God told me. God told me to tell you, no, you don't. You know, God gave me a direct word to me from a pulpit one day back in 1990. God spoke directly to me in a crowd of people. It was to nobody else but me, all right? That's why I'm up here today, because I am hard-headed and I don't hear well, spiritually, I guess. So God told me one day, you might know this young man, Mark Stover. Anybody know Mark Stover? Awesome young dude. Young. I mean, he's like a baby. He's so young because he's my age. Anyway, he said to me Easter morning, he looked at me and pointed at me and said, Robbie, this is for you. Then he read Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That went to nobody else but me. Sometimes God speaks directly to you and nobody else. So God, Samuel said, tell him this. So Samuel goes back to him and he says, God told me to tell you, no, you don't. Say one more time, said, yes, we do. Samuel said, now this ain't going to be up there. But in chapter 8, verse 11 through 20, I'm going to read it real quick. Because God does something that I've only known him to do twice. And he doesn't do it to everybody. He told two different people exactly what their future held. He told Paul all that he was going to go through if he followed him. And it wasn't good. And Paul still followed him. And here he tells the people, if you get a king, if you want to go down to verse 11, if you get a king, he says, and this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint him for himself. He will take them for his chariots. He will take them for his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint them captains over thousands and fifties and hundreds. And they will reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and his instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters and confectionaries, and he will take them to be cooks, and he will take them to be bakers, and he will take your fields, and he'll take your vineyards, and he'll take your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants, and he'll take your maid servants, even your goodliest young men, and you take your asses, and he will take them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord says, I will not hear you in that day. Now, if you were going to pick somebody to rule you, and you were just told that's what it was going to be, would you take that person? I'd be like, you're right. No, I don't. You're right. No, I don't. We don't want that. Nevertheless, verse 19 says, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. So you got to realize something. When you got Jesus, you got all that you need. When you got Jesus in your heart, when you got God in your life, that moment, you've got everything that you'll ever need. You don't need to look around. You don't need to look over at the other pastures. You don't look to see where it's greener. Because when you first knew Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you knew the one that you needed. So instead of looking around, we should look back. If you've been saved and you start looking around, instead of looking around, let's look back. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand ye in the way. Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, which is the good way, and walk therein. So when you're feeling like, I don't have what I need, I wish I had what they have. I wish I had what that person has. I wish I had what that group has. Look back to when you first met Jesus and first took him into your life as Lord, Savior, and King. And remember that feeling, because in that moment, you know that you needed nothing else. And you know what? You still need nothing else. All you need is Jesus. You needed him back then. You need him today. and tomorrow, he's all you'll need. Because in having him, you'll have everything that you need. He will supply everything that you need. But they got Saul. Now, the Bible says Saul is like one we would have chose. He was goodly. He looked good. He was tall, said from his shoulders to his head, he was above everybody else. He's the one that you and I would pick for a king. That's what God did. God said, okay, I'm going to go find you a king. And he picked the guy who looked like the one that we would pick. He picked the guy that we would vote for if we had to vote. And he said, all right, here's your king, here's Saul. Now, it seemed like a good plan because it's the one that we would have chose. I mean, let's think about it for a minute. All right, you got me up here, I'm vying for a king, right? There's me and there's Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. All right, who are you going to pick? Absolutely. Arnold, be our man. Arnold, please be our man. There's not even a question. That's who they got. They got that king. They got Saul. But it was because they argued with God. You see, God has his plan. He knows what the future holds. This is what he says. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Right? One translation says it like this. I know the plans that I have for you. So think of it like this. God sat down and thought of you and created a plan. You ever thought about that? God sat down and thought of you and created a plan just for you. Just for you. And he thinks every day about you. He continues, he says, I continue to think good works, good words, and good thoughts. I continue to think blessings about you. I continue to think about you every day. So when my plan is going, I'm still thinking about it. I still got you in there. I'm still thinking on you, with you, thinking about you, thinking for you, still working. But now here's what happened. They argued with God, and I thought that reminded me of a story, true story. You know where I got it? The internet, right? Last week, did I tell you that? Internet is true. Right? It's a story, and I said, an actual transcript. There you go. The internet said it's an actual transcript. So this is true. U.S. naval ship and Canadian authorities in October of 1995 off the coast of Newfoundland, right? This is their radio conversation. And I know it's true because the internet said it's an actual transcript. So the American naval captain says, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. To which the Canadian says, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. We in America don't like people to disagree with us, do we? If I tell you to do something, what should you do? It, right? If you tell me to do something, what should I do? That. Well, they didn't. So he didn't like that. So he got a little bit mad. He said, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship, and I say again, divert your course. So the Canadian says, no. I say again, divert your course. Well, this made him really mad. So the captain says, this is the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, in case you didn't know what 15 meant. Or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of your ship. To which the Canadian says, this is a lighthouse. Your call. When you argue with the wrong person, you never win. When I argue with God, I never win. Just do what God says. His plan is perfect. His plan is out there. His plan is laid out there. Now, God says to you and to me, he is so good because I'm just now at that verse. You're good. You know who's up there? Is that you? Are you doing that? Stevie? Are you doing this? Stevie McCollum, everybody. He is good. Barry's good. Stevie's good. Yes, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are death. There's a way that seems right. It seemed good to have Saul as king because he's who I would have picked. He's the type of man that I would pick for a king. He's the one that I would have chosen. So it did seem right. I mean, God, when I don't want to stand up, it seems right because I don't, I'm me. And when I want to, then I think that's right because I'm me. But there's a way that seems right unto me and to you, and there's a way that is right unto God. And they ain't always the same. And when they're not the same, we should do what God says. We should do what God thinks. We should not do what I think, although we don't do that sometimes. But sometimes we do it. You see, God says, there's a way that seems right to you, but I will tell you my ways. There's a way that seems right unto you, but I will tell you my way. He says, I will speak to you and show you what I want for you. I will tell you my plans. He said, I will be a lamp unto your feet and light it up step by step. I'll be a light to your path and light it up out there far ahead. He said, I will show you what I want you to do and what I need you to do. Sometimes he shows you the end game. Sometimes he shows you the next step. Sometimes he tells you the next step and says, now step in faith. Step in faith. Just do it and see what happens. If it's God, you'll kind of like Peter on the water, right? You know Peter. He's my favorite guy because he just is. But he's in the boat. There's a storm. Waves are high. Winds are strong. Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. Peter says, if it's you, bid me come. I think Peter was wanting him to say something like this. Peter, that's good faith. You stay right there and I'll be there in a minute. That's what I would have been hoping, that Jesus just said, that's okay. You had the faith. Stay right there. But instead, Jesus says, come. Peter's got a choice to make. In that moment, what would I have done? Ask yourself that. What would I have stepped out? Would I mean, 2 minutes ago, I thought it was a spirit. Now I'm going to bank that it's Jesus. Am I going to step? Well, sometimes you got to step in faith. Just knowing God's going to be there. Just knowing God's going to be the cement beneath your feet when all you see is water. Sometimes you see nothing to land on, but God says, you know what? My invisible hand is waiting. Take that step. Take that leap. Go for me. Go for me. Take that step of faith. Take that leap of faith and watch me catch you. Watch me catch you. And it will work out. But sometimes it seems good for me in my mind to do something different. But sometimes it isn't good for me to do something different. It's good because God says to do it. And that's what makes it good, because God says, you know, sometimes I think God tells me to testify about something. And I argue more than you all know with God. And I shouldn't tell you stuff like that. I'd say stuff sometimes that Lori said you shouldn't say that. And I'll tell kids things in my ignorant past. And she's like, you shouldn't tell our kids you did that. They won't walk on a fence. They're smarter than me. All right? They won't do that. I hope. But if they do, they're my kid. I don't know. But I argue with God, and I think, God, do you really want me to say that? And I ask myself this. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Here's a litmus test for if you think God's telling you to say something and you're not sure. Will God get glory? Because if God will get glory, the devil ain't telling you to say it. Or if God will get glory, the devil ain't telling you to do it. God, should I go pray about that? Well, we'll pray about that, give God glory, then go pray. If praying about it will give the devil glory, don't go pray. But I don't know anything that praying about gives the devil glory. So if you feel like you should pray about something, there's the altar, come now. Don't wait for me to finish talking. Come when you're ready. Come when God says come. Because give God the glory. Sometimes we just got to ask ourselves, will God get glory? And then do it. Step out. Now, sometimes it seems good, but the end is death, all right? So if we go to, real quick, I'm gonna get this thing to an end. Move over a couple of pages to 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, he chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 went with him, and 1,000 went with Jonathan, because he wanted more with him than Jonathan, because he liked himself better than Jonathan. How many of you all realize you like yourself better than anybody else? Now, that is an awful thing to say in church, is it not? Pastor, I don't love me more than anybody else. Really? Why did Jesus say, here's the second commandment, love others as you love, not your, you love yourself. I love myself. Why? Because in me is me. And in my love for number one is the number one spot. You like yourself more than anybody else, and so do I. If I got a $100 bill and I got somebody that wants it and I want it, who do I want to give it to? Me, right? And you want to give it to you. Now, we may give it to the other person, but we don't want to. We want to keep it. That's why God said, love others as you love yourself, Rob. So, that's what happened. So, Saul gave him 1,000. He said, I'm taking 2. But the Bible says that Jonathan, with 1,000 men, went into the Philistine land and conquered a fort. Took the fort, a fortified position, 1,000 men, and Jonathan went and conquered it and took it. Seemed like it was going well. Seemed like it's going well, right? Saul's got to be the man. I mean, we're winning battles with thousands. Now, let me tell you how many thousand. Look down at verse 5. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand, which is on the seashore, in multitude. That's how many people that the Philistines had. And we're killing them with 1,000. That seems to be going well. Doesn't that seem like a good plan to you? It seems like it's working out. Well, they're getting ready to go to battle, and Samuel says to, gets word to Saul, and he says, Saul, I want you to wait 7 days, and I'll be down, and I'm going to sacrifice unto the Lord. Samuel says, I'll be down, the Lord's prophet. I'll make the sacrifice, the Lord's prophet, unto the Lord. So Saul waited 7 days, actually 6 days and some hours, because the 7th day wasn't over with yet. And Saul saw his people. They started leaving. They started getting scared. So they started hiding themselves in caves and pits and in the forest, running away. So Saul gets nervous. And Saul says, you know, everybody's going to leave. Everybody's going to leave. And I won't have nobody. And I'm a king, and I do sacrifices. So I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. Now, the Lord said make a sacrifice on the 7th day. That was his plan. Saul said, Lord's plan, 7th day sacrifice. I'm going to go ahead and do it. There's God's plan, my way. That don't work out. God's plan, my way, never works out. God's plan, God's way, always works out. What happens? The Bible says that Saul said, bring me the offering, bring me all the animals. He made the offering. And as soon as, the Bible says, as soon as he was done, Samuel walked into sight. As soon as he disobeyed God's plan, God's will, the prophet walked into sight and said, what have you done? You see, Saul thought that he needed to do this. He thought he needed something in this moment. But let me tell you something, and me something. God never needs what I think is needed. God only needs what he knows is needed. And it's on his time. You see, Saul said, it's been 7 days, so it's time. But the 7th day wasn't over, and God's man showed up on the 7th day. God will provide what you need when you need it, right on time, every time. Never early, never late, right on time. Know this, if you feel like you need to do something for God's plan to work, you don't. He doesn't need what you need. He doesn't need what I need. He doesn't need what I think. He doesn't need what you think. He just needs him and your availability. He just needs him and your willingness. He just needs him and your faith. So what happened? The Bible says, the end of my plan is death. Saul, in this moment, lost the kingdom. Samuel said, you know what? God was going to make your kingdom till you die. You would have been king till you die. What he said was your kingdom would stand forever. But he said now he took it today in this moment and he's already given it to a guy who's after his own heart. We knew who that was, David. But in that moment of disobedience, of Saul doing God's plan Saul's way, because he kind of obeyed him. He did the sacrifice on the 7th day, but he didn't wait for his man. So when I try to do God's will my way, my plan never works out. Now, real quick, I'm just about done. Real quick, let's look at God's plan, God's way. Because his plan, his way works out. And see, we got to know this. God's plan works because he's given you something that you need. And that's a spirit within you. And that's the spirit of power. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So God's put inside you the power of the spirit and the spirit of the power that you need to work his plan, to follow his plan, to obey his will, to do what he wants you to do, to walk every step that he has laid out for you. The Bible says that he's given you that spirit and he's given you that power. Not a fear. Someone said you can't have fear and faith at the same time. One day, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered, and no one was there. Because when you fear, you're not having faith. And when you have faith, there is no fear. Now, you might have fear in the moment up till you have that faith and move on that faith. But whenever you activate your faith, whenever you walk in your faith, great things happen. Now, real quick, I'm going to show you what God can do with your faith and his plan. In chapter 14, verse 1, says this. Now, it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan... Now, remember how many people were there to fight against him? Thousands. Thousands, right? So the Bible says in 14:1, "Now it came to pass on a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father." Now, there's thousands over there. Thousands. I'll be there in just a minute. Good job. Thousands over there. And Jonathan says, "Come here. You, one. Me, one. We're going over there." How many of you are following that guy? Ain't no way. I'm going, "Jonathan, me, one. Your cheerleader from afar. You go." And that's it. I'm not going with him. But you know what the Bible says? He went with him. He said, "You're going, I'm going. Where you go, I go. I'm with you all the way." That's what we, the church, need to do. Band together. In hard times, in rough times, in trials and struggles and fights and battles, when someone's down, when someone's up, we need to band together. Because in unity, there are blessings that God has. In unity, there is power. When we are divided, what did Jesus say? A kingdom divided falls. A kingdom united stands. So he said this. He said, "I'm going with you. I admit, just me and you and 40,000 people. Yeah, we got this. Yeah." So here's what Jonathan says to him. Here's how we're going to know that God is in this and that we've already won this battle. He says, "Me and you are going to go over there. And when we get in their sight, if they say, 'Hold right there,' we'll come get you." He says, "We ain't going in because it is not God's will. But if they invite us into their camp, then we're going to walk up there and we're going to pull a Rambo on these people and we're going to win." So the Bible says that they went crawling in between rocks and the cliffs. And when the army saw them, they said, hey, in verse 13 says, Jonathan climbed, and in verse 12 they said, "Hey, come on up here. Why don't you guys come on in our camp?" So the Bible says they crawled up in, they got into the camp, and look at verse 14. Keep that up, because I like that verse. 14. Well, 13 says, "And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer, too, made was 20 men within, as it were, in half an acre." Two people, 20 men. Rambo got nothing on him. Rambo needs weapons like machine guns and stuff. These two people with knives and swords and spears, 20 people, the Bible says. Took them out. And here's what happened. Read that verse right there. When the Philistine heard about the two people that beat the 20 people, they got scared. And I like this verse because it says this. Look, there was trembling in the host. The Philistines in the field were shaking. There was some shaking going on in that place. There were some Philistines shaking, and there were some earthquaking. Because it says the earthquake. They were so scared of these two people and God. Because know this, when you're with God, you're not just one. When you're with God, you're an innumerable number of people. You've got an army which can outnumber everybody. So two people and God scared everybody. Scared everybody. I'm really just about done. And if we go down to the last verse I think I gave you. The Bible says this. "So the Lord saved Israel that day because of the faith of two people and the obedience of two people. The way that seems right unto us, a king, big, strong, and mighty, we lose." The Bible says in that first battle, they lost tens of thousands of Israelites. Tens of thousands were killed in a day in Israel, of Israel. But with two people doing it God's way, God's plan, God saves the day. Crazy ways God leads us. Crazy ways God does things. Let me tell you about the craziest thing he ever did. One day he decided, "I want you in heaven. I want you in heaven. I want you to be saved." So this is what he did. He said, "I'm going to go create a kingdom. I'm going to build up a kingdom." So to do that, he didn't send somebody in power and glory and honor and might. He sent somebody lowly and humble, Jesus. And he let him go all the way to the cross, to die on the cross, to save you. To save you. To save me. To build his kingdom, he came to die, not to live. To build his kingdom, he came not in power, but in humility and meekness. To build his kingdom of you and of me, he came and went to the cross. But in doing that, he made a way for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. This morning God says, come unto me. Everybody, all, come unto me. Maybe you're here this morning and you've slipped away from God and you're not where you used to be. This morning he says to you, get back in the right fellowship with me. Here's my will. Here's you. Won't you move over this morning? This morning, maybe you're saved, but you're in the midst of a battle that you need Jesus to move and act. Won't you come talk to him? This morning, if you need Jesus for anything, come talk to him. He's ready as we stand.
I travel down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy. Morning, I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me.
You know, you may say, Rob, I'm not good enough. God can't use me. You don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know what you've done. And thankfully, you don't know what I've done. But he knows what we've all done. But I want you to realize something. When it comes to who God uses, it's not the perfect person that he's looking for, because he's already found that one and there was only one. But in the Bible, listen to this, because when you compare yourself for God using you and for God using me, we always compare ourselves to Jesus and we always fall short. But listen who God used. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And so was Samuel, apparently. and Lazarus was dead. Now, in that category of people, we all fit. So never think that God can't use you for a plan that he's calling you to do. Remember that. Remember that. Does anybody have anything? I just want to remind you that this week is VBS for 6th grade and up, and that's all the way up to 153 years old. And if you're older than that, you're welcome to come out too. 7 o'clock each night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here, Thursday at Pastor Aaron's, Friday at Brian and Kim's. But anybody you know, your child, like we said on the announcement, your child, your grandchild, your friend's child, the neighborhood child, bring them out, invite them out, other churches, everybody's welcome. The more we have, the more that hears about God, the better it'll be. So pray for it. Pray for it. Anybody else got anything? All right. If you'd bow your heads, Michael, would you dismiss us?